has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for another Saturday morning. We appreciate you so much for listening. I am the Cash Man. I got to hit my plugs before we get too far. We are here at September 26th, holidays today, International Rabbit Day. It's the fourth Saturday in September here in Philly. Yes, it's Johnny Appleseed Day and National Hunting and Fishing Day, which is, of course, the fourth in September as well. Happy 39th birthday to the WWE Raw Women's Champ, Asuka, and WWE Murphy is 32 today. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. Come on out to Salvatore's Saloon tonight for UFC 253. The action begins at 10 p.m. You want to get there early, get a good seat. There's never cover for UFC at Salvatore's. Definitely check it out tonight. UFC 253, Salvatore's Saloon. Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater? Officiate? Huh? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. And join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're interested in the men's team, it's flowercityfear.com, F-L-O-U-R. Always looking for help there. Welcome to the show today. I am your humble host, the Cash Man. I am joined special panel today. It's the three faces of intelligence in the world of wrestling who are joining me. Furby, broadcasting from Hilton, New York. How you doing, Furbs?
I'm doing great. Good morning, everybody. It's a good week here. Found out I get to keep my job for now. So,
all right, you got that sexy looking voice good. Thing. You got that sexy voice thing going on too this morning. Hey, hey, hey. To his left, above the bottom right corner, we got Danger Boy. What's up, Danger?
Good morning. Just enjoying another week of Bills undefeated football.
Yeah, well, I don't know how far that will go, but I will say, you ever hear the song "What's Up"? I think it's "What's Up, Danger" from Spider-Man into the. That's why I always say "What's Up, Danger" because that's the name of the song. But below Danger is joining us this week as a special guest. It's our friend Jay-Z. He hasn't been here in a while. Jay-Z, how's it going?
You know, it's pretty awesome. I've been watching you guys from a distance on Facebook when you do this Microsoft Teams thing, and it's. I'm glad to be in the. This shot of people that look like they're a lineup in a bakery heist. You know? I'm the guy who stuffed 12 bear claws in the shorts in his cargo shorts.
Jay-Z, you got any more kids?
No. My wife and I are strictly exhibition games now.
I see. You're practicing, right?
Yeah, it's strictly exhibition games. Practicing. Oh, it's a Saturday morning show. We can't go into detail.
Practice makes perfect, sir. All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. We're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. Jay-Z joining us. It's nice to see him. And yeah, you got to look at the pictures on Facebook, folks. He's like full COVID-19 outed there.
It's like Lord of the Flies over here. I have the conch shell for an hour. My kids don't know what to do with themselves.
So we're going to start talking about the world of pro wrestling, and we might as well start by talking about the unfortunate passing of Road Warrior Animal this past week, which is really sad because Road Warrior Hawk died back in many, many years ago. 2006, was it, I think? 2005. He's been gone for a long time. Now Road Warrior Animal joins him, and it's really the Road Warriors were revolutionaries when it came to tag team wrestling. And I only say that because it took more than just two guys that looked like $1 million. It also took a booking team to allow them to do what they wanted to do and be, you know, and run roughshod over every bit of competition they've ever faced. So it was really it's really a sad day. We haven't really talked about Animal in a while. Last time I saw him, it was on Dark Side of the Ring, which was not that long ago. He must have done it earlier this year. They did Dark Side of the Ring when I can't remember what the story was they were talking about.
They were doing Hawk.
Oh, they were doing
Hawk. The rise and fall of the Road Warriors, I think is what it was called, something like that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, and we're hearing that it's a natural circumstances, you know, that, and unfortunately, wrestlers tend to die young, you know, I mean, which is a sad thing. But you guys have any thoughts, any memories of Road Warrior Animal?
Well, when I was a kid growing up, and Jay-Z is around my age, and Cash, you're a little older, and Furby, you probably don't even know who the Road Warriors are. But there was nothing better than to watch a Clash of Champions, hear Iron Man hit by Black Sabbath, and watch the Road Warriors come down and kill some people. And they had good matches, too. They had good matches against, like, the Midnight Express and against the Four Horsemen. But they were just it was something completely different and something that you can't redo. They tried. Demolition tried to rip it off, and the Powers of Pain and that stuff, and no one was the Road Warriors. They named the pop when someone comes out after the team. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, whenever they came out in Chicago, especially, the roof comes off the place. And they were billed from there, but they're actually from, like, Minneapolis or something like that. But Chicago loved them, and the world loved them. They were, I remember as a kid, I didn't get where I grew up. We didn't have the NWA. We only had WWF. And I remember getting the After Mags, and on the cover, there would be, every once in a while, the Road Warriors. And I would be like, who are these big, giant guys with paint on their faces? Nobody was like them. Demolition showed up, of course, in the WWF. But I knew they were already ripping off the Road Warriors. And it was nice to see them show up in WWF for a little while and show them who the real bosses were. So they were just awesome. I just watched a match with them and Midnight Express, and it looks like they were literally trying to kill Stan Lane at one point. It was just awesome. They were a great team, and nobody will ever, ever be like them.
My biggest memory, just going back on Animal, is really actually from the Legion of Doom, with Heidenreich in the 2005 era. That's when I was really kind of exposed to him. And you still got the same kind of vibe from him. Obviously, it wasn't Hawk. It wasn't Animal. It wasn't, you know, the Road Warriors. But you still got the same intensity. It may have not been on the same level. They may have not had the same impact. But when you heard the "What a Rush" hit, it was deal. And it's sad because I see all these guys before my time starting to pass, and I really appreciate, you know, what these guys did for the wrestling business to make it where it is today. Obviously, I think it's on a downturn now, but I wish I was there to watch a lot of that. And see the rise in professional wrestling, because that's like the golden era. And I think I missed a lot of that. But I go back and watch it because I'm a wrestling fan, and that's what I do. That's what I want to see. I want to see good professional wrestling. And just knowing that he had a big part of that, and how many people are emotionally touched because, you know, we watch him on our screens, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and they're as much as they are idols to us, they become part of that family. And then when you see them pass like that, it hits us at home just as much.
Oh no, I agree, and I will say, yeah, you know, there was other versions of the Road Warriors. You know, I mean, you know, like Heidenreich, you mentioned. Remember Draws? Draws was a Road Warrior for a short time, and
he was the pusher.
He was, yeah, you know, yeah, he pushed Hawk off the top of the Titantron. But you know, I will say that you know, the thing is they had that push up until they came to the WWE, and then WWE tried kind of deconstructed them and their last run in the WWE by putting Sonny with them, and you know, and really trying to write more than what was the obvious was these guys would come out and just kill you, you know, and then ride off into the sunset. And they did that for years, and everywhere they went, they went through the territories and did that same thing everywhere they went, and all the bookers would push them like that, and that would be like the reason they would go places is because the guys would still push them like they want to be pushed. And it really was and it's really sad because we're never going to see anything like that again. You know, we're never going to see a team that's created, you know, and pushed as heavily, you know, for quick wins over major quality opponents. And one thing that came back to mind was I was watching SummerSlam, the famous SummerSlam from Wembley, and I remember I remember seeing Dark Side of the Ring, and I remember Animal talking about how Road Warrior Hawk was all messed up when they were driving the motorcycles down, and if you watch the match, and I went back and watched the match, and Hawk is just wandering around the ring at the very end of the match as the finish is being played, you know, so it's like, and that was just something I saw on Dark Side of the Ring, not more than 5 months ago. It was during COVID because they were doing the Microsoft Teams post show that I watched where he was there too. So it's really sad, and it's sad that, you know, his son played for the St. Louis in the NFL, and you know,
Buckeyes.
Yeah, and he was still, you know, out talking, showing up at shows, doing reunions, doing like the conventions everywhere. And he's just it's really a loss. And it's like, I tried to get Paul Ellering to come on with us today to talk a little bit about the significance of the Road Warriors and the history of tag team wrestling. Unfortunately, he didn't get back to me before we did this, but I really still would like to do that someday with Ellering. He's a very smart man and has some very smart things to say. But it is a sad day in the world of
pro wrestling. There's one other thing. I saw this on my Facebook feed yesterday, and I completely had forgotten about it for a while. If you have ever enjoyed or worn a pair of Zubaz, you can thank the Road Warriors for that. They got in on the ground floor, and they're the ones who helped popularize Zubaz when it first started in the 90s. Late 80s, early 90s.
So blame them.
Yeah, blame them. I know some wrestlers who still wear Zubaz. Maybe local ones too, right, Danger?
They are incredibly comfy. I wear them every Sunday watching the Bills.
All right. On that note,
I was going to say one last thing on this note, and especially it has to do, you know, with the Road Warriors. You're not going to see any other big Hoss tag team as well as them anymore. You're just not.
No, I agree. And I think, like I said, when they came to the WWE and they finally got a chance, WWE tried to, you know, I mean, they Hawk and Animal came in with Paul Ellering. Paul Ellering suddenly had an animal with him every week. I didn't get where that was going, but
the puppet.
Yeah, the puppet. Sorry, it wasn't an animal; it was a puppet. But
what was the puppet? Meat. I think the puppet's name was Meat or something like that.
Yeah, I have no idea. But see, that's the WWE insertion into the Road Warriors. Yep. But you'll never, Vince McMahon could never have made the Road Warriors because he never would have, not unless they took acting lessons or something. But on that note, we're going to go to break. Hold on. We're going to go to break on that note, come back and talk a little bit about COVID-19 rearing its ugly head again. And speaking of ugly heads, retribution will be talked about as well. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. No way. Danger Boy and Furby. Hey, can we sing along a little bit? You guys know the words to this? I'm not going to force you to sing Judas by Chris Jericho, but I love it when other people sing it. Do you notice how they do that now when he comes out in AEW? They stop and let the crowd sing the chorus. So it's always pretty cool. But
it was funny because when they did the late night TNT on Tuesday at 12:30, they didn't have the fans there, and it was just the the other wrestlers and crew, and they did the same pan shot, and none of them knew the words.
What was great was
hilarious.
Jericho was on commentary too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so yes. It's like,
that they played the song when he came out, and they showed Luther, and you could see he was like mumbling. It was pretty funny.
Well, you need Sammy Guevara there, so it's like, and Sammy was nowhere to be seen. But welcome back to the Pain Clinic. We're here to talk pro wrestling, have a little fun at the same time. And we talked a little bit about Road Warrior Animal in the last segment, but let's talk a little bit about what AEW this past week getting hit by the COVID bug. Danger, what you, do you know, like, who and what? Or I know they can't tell everybody, but there was some.
There was Lance Archer came out and said he tested positive for COVID, and the belief is that he tested positive outside of AEW and never had it when he was actually there. But that led to a bunch of changes on the show yesterday. And then there was multiple other people. They haven't really come out with names. It's you're in Florida. It's a hotbed. And even though they test everybody and all that, there's still going to be issues like this. So both them and NXT this past week was changed big time because of people testing positive for COVID.
I saw that that Ben Carter tested positive, yep, and he just had that. He had that big debut match on on Tuesday night, the AEW late night.
Yep, he was on Dark, and he also had the late night match with Scorpio Sky. Where if you haven't seen the match yet, go watch it because it was a killer. I was introduced to Ben Carter and GCW actually when I went to the homecoming show in July out in Atlantic City, and he was part of the Scramble. And this kid's an athlete; he's going to be a star. He's an international kid, and he's unbelievable. And the match that he had with Scorpio Sky on Tuesday night, that was something to be proud of on his you know, for him, and it was a fantastic match.
No, definitely. I got to tell you this. I kind of nodded off during the night, and then all of a sudden I woke up and it was on my TV because I had set it to DVR, and I just caught that match, and it's like, whoa, that match just blew my mind. It was like it was a coming out for Ben there, and I thought it was really a good debut. Unfortunately, now he's got COVID-19. We're not going to see him for a couple of weeks. But NXT had a bunch of people, but they nobody's by specifics, you know?
Well, there's a reason you saw the tag match you saw on TV last night, where you had one member from each tag team, and then the winners are going to face each other, the winning tag teams. That's not going to happen next week. It's probably going to happen the week after, if it happens then at all, because they're having the issues. So there's obviously members of tag teams who have tested positive.
You can assume that Bobby Fish may be one of them guys, because he didn't even show up at the end of the show with Undisputed. Either.
Well, so, yeah, and I mean, his tag team partner was tagging with somebody else anyways, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Roderick Strong there. But good. I'll tell you, what they did was pretty good for putting it together, you know, on the fly. I thought it was I thought both shows were really good this past Wednesday. And but unfortunately, COVID-19 rears its ugly head once again. And hopefully, I know it's not the end, you know, I mean, the end of this, because it'll keep on happening. As long as you're traveling to come in to where you're wrestling, you're always going to take the risk of in an airport or whatever, you know, in a crowded plane.
Well, unlike other sports, wrestling is a different animal. They're not able to put people in a bubble like the NBA has done. They're not able to do that. I don't know if they could do what they did during the peak of COVID shutdown, where they just basically taped weeks worth of shows over a handful of days and just keep people out of there. I don't know what they can do to prevent an outbreak like this. But, you know, when it happened this week, I think, especially AEW, they landed on their feet. You know, they really booked well around it. And at least they were honest about Lance Archer, because Lance had kind of, you know, thrown it out there in the ether already. But I don't know. It's unavoidable at this point. It's going to happen with it out there, you know, regardless of the precautions they've set in place. These guys are traveling from all over the country, and, you know, God knows who or what or where they're running into people in the airport that may already have had it, and it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
And they had a very nice substitute, actually, and oddly enough, it didn't feel awkward, because they also kind of had some way to storyline into it, you know, with Eddie Kingston actually never being eliminated. And he hinted on that, you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks. So him being able to throw that in part of the storyline, and then he gets the match versus Mox. It didn't feel just forced. You know, you see a lot of stupid social media stuff about, oh, this guy doesn't deserve it. He's only 1-1. Well, okay, yeah, record-wise, yeah, he was only 1-1. All right, but he has a point. He never was eliminated. He technically would have been that next guy who was the contender, give him his match. You know, it kind of gave a little bit of an excitement feel because now you go from thinking, okay, you're going to see a six-man tag match. You're going to see Archer in a couple weeks. Now you see maybe a potential new champion. You know, I thought they did well. Like you said, they landed on their feet pretty well.
I'll give Eddie Kingston a lot of kudos, too. It was a pretty good match, and he did definitely give up the second to last night, you know, this past week. But he definitely was tapping out. So, he came out, put out a good match, and I mean Mox, Moxley, that's the only bad thing. And Jay-Z, you're kind of new to what we're talking about. What do you think about changing titles on people when they're kind of trapped with no audience? Do you think that's fair to for instance, Braun Strowman? Braun Strowman is a guy who's for the people, you know? And I mean, he needs the people, but they still keep the belt on him. But we have other guys like dropping titles or changing but pretty much the main champions have been the same, except for Brody Lee now being the TNT champ.
Well, it's really hard because wrestling is like this. It's back and forth between the fans and what's happening in the ring, especially in the American wrestling. And with a lack of response from the crowd can kill a good match. As for changing titles, I wouldn't have been upset if Eddie Kingston had won the title last night, as long as it makes sense long term. We don't know when this is going to end, and we don't know. We can't gauge like they did 25, 30 years ago if Moxley or if Braun Strowman or whoever is on top is drawing money. We can't gauge it by that. We can gauge it by ratings, I guess. I don't know that Eddie Kingston would be a ratings draw. Guys like us know who he is. We've been watching him for years, and we're excited to see him on TV. They've sort of packaged him well to give him a little bit of credibility on AEW, but you know, he's saying he has 18 years of experience, but the novice wrestling viewer that's never seen him in Chikara or in CZW or any of the indies, they might not know who this guy is or how good he is. So I don't know. I think in this era, any title change that happens has to make sense. And I know AEW will at least put some thought into a title change. I don't think WWE does. I don't think they put any thought. The titles are just props, but AEW seems to make them mean something. And that's something that we've been conditioned to not believe here in the States, especially that titles don't really mean anything. They're just a prop. But AEW is at least trying to rehab that image for a title belt.
I will throw out one thing. Brody Lee won that title because Cody Rhodes was going off to do a TV show. And Cody Rhodes made his big re-debut this past week. What'd you think of that look? You know, was he
looked like Billy Joel Armstrong.
No, Panic at the Disco, man. That's what I was thinking when he was coming out. Is he going to start singing? You know, he had that look. He's back now, and maybe he wants his belt back. Maybe he wants to get revenge. It's cool that pretty much everyone ran as soon as he came out, but yeah, you know, and I like your perspective. I agree that, you know, that's how they base it, is if you can make money or not. And they're not making any money since they're not on the road. They're not selling merch. They're selling merch, but they're not selling it like they do on the road, you know. So I guess we'll see what happens with once they're able to go on the road. Vince McMahon, by the way, is chomping at the bit to get back on the road. He's willing to bring it back to smaller venues. So you'll see when they start going on the road again, maybe when New York opens up a little bit, they might, who knows, maybe we'll see him back at the Blue Cross Arena. I know that.
Well, the problem with that is they fired almost their entire live events department. So they're going to be relying on less people to do the job. And a new arena, so it's completely different. It's not the context they've had before or anything like that.
Did they fire them or did they furlough them?
Because they were let go. They were furloughed originally and let go after.
Gotcha.
Cool. Why don't we go to break on that? Because I want to talk a little bit about our friends from Retribution. And I know we teased it a little bit. I think they deserve a whole segment. So we're going to go to break on that, come back and talk about Retribution actually getting names. And actually, now we know who's in it. And we'll talk a little bit about, maybe you don't know who it is, but we'll tell you who the members of Retribution are when we come back. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Cash Man with Furby, Danger Boy, our good friend Jay-Z, who we haven't seen in a long time, and you. We want to thank you so much. I think Aleister Black, too. Hold on a second. Here's a backmasking. Okay, welcome back to the show. Here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. Jay-Z now sporting a black mask. Are you doing that for
I'm trying to talk through it like Maya Yim did.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay? It's not comfortable.
No, hold on. Put it back up. I need to get a good picture of you with that on. I thought you were doing Aleister Black there. All right.
No, I'm doing the Maya Yim, the mask, you know, where she couldn't, on Monday, she couldn't talk. She kept pulling at it.
Yeah.
Like so, my kid does when she goes to the store.
So what Jay-Z's talking about and kind of giving a little bit of ways, we're going to talk about Retribution this segment. Retribution debuted this past Monday night with names besides Retribution. There were shaky cameras. But they came out with like masks. I thought it was like five Banes for a second, you know. Well, one was like a hockey mask, and there was, the rest of them were like Bane from the Batman Returns or whatever. Before I get too far, don't forget Salvatore's tonight at Salvatore's Saloon. You can catch UFC 253, no cover charge. Get there early, hang out, watch some two title fights on the card tonight. That's Salvatore's Saloon, UFC 253. There, I got it in. So, there's a lot of stories going on about Retribution right now. Danger, why don't you tell us who's in Retribution? Because I could tell you because I got it in front of me, but I'll let you do it.
Well, Retribution, the five main members that we saw unmasked are yet unnamed with stupid names, Mia Yim and Mercedes Martinez. And then you have Donovan Dijakovic is now T-Bar.
T-Bar.
And
is that the guy we blame everything on when something goes wrong? T-Bar? It's a Simpsons joke. Okay, go ahead.
And Shane Thorne is now Slapjack.
That was my nickname in high school.
Slapjack?
Yeah, I don't want to tell you why. It has a horrible origin.
I'm scared. Is anything like the Urban Dictionary version of what a slapjack is?
Please don't.
I can't say it on the air.
No. I was going to say, wasn't slapjack the thing that Booker T and Stevie Ray used to use to beat people?
Yeah, Stevie Ray had the slapjack.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like a roll of quarters in a sock or something.
No, like it was like a thing you slide in through a window to make a car to break into a car by popping
the
lock.
That's a Slim Jim.
Okay. Don't want to get him confused. Okay, who else, Danger?
And the last person who unmasked was Mace, aka Dio Madden, last seen on Raw as an announcer going through a table to Brock Lesnar.
That's right, Dio Madden. It's been a while. He was kind of unceremoniously thrown out of the announcing area. So there you go. That's Maya Yim, Mercedes Martinez, Shane Thorne, Dio Madden, and Dominic Dijakovic. That is Retribution.
So this is my take on this. Why does WWE feel like they have to try way too hard to make something that could be so good, yet now it is so bad? It just goes to show that
you missed the WCW invasion. You missed anything having to do with the Nexus, all that stuff. It just shows that it's the same path.
they have no idea of simplicity. Like, seriously, look at the storyline that they could have came up with. Okay, Dijakovic, a guy who never really got a strong push. Dio Madden, slammed through a table. Shane Thorne, lost his tag team partner. Mia Yim and Mercedes Martinez, been around for a long time, never really got anything out of it. Hey, Retribution, you know, we want our shot. We never got it. We're coming for it now. Yeah, now you got to put stupid masks on them, have some stupid storyline. Just goes to show that they really have absolutely no idea what they wanted to do with Retribution from the beginning, and now they're just flying on the seat of their pants, and it sucks.
Well, I love how they've created all this chaos, damaged a lot of stuff. They interrupt the broadcast, and WWE's like, I'm going to give you guys contracts now. It's almost like that philosophy, like if you keep pulling the girl's pigtails, she'll eventually fall in love with you. I think it doesn't make any sense at all. It's almost as if they've got Vince Russo behind one of those masks.
the funniest thing about it is in that segment where they said they got contracts, they said that we came from the Performance Center. So aren't they already under contract at that point with WWE? That's what made even less sense.
Their stated goal is to destroy the WWE. So, hey, let's sign them. Oh, and not only that, the announcer said now that they're signed, they can do whatever they want.
From the inside.
They were doing it anyways.
Well, you listen. This is what they did. They blew up the generator. They put a brick through a glass wall, through a glass window. They pretty much, did things that would get you.
Flipped
a car, which I think they borrowed from Rochester.
The ring.
Yeah, they wrecked the ring with chainsaws. So they're basically a bunch of guys that like to wreck things and get away with it now because they could have been arrested for any of those things. Like I said, the flip the car, they must have been watching the news in Rochester when we were doing our riots or whatever, but it kills me that they go and sign them, and so they're going to do it from the inside now, and then the worst thing is
maybe they can take the damages out of their paycheck.
Yeah, they owe us for a window and a generator, but the funny
thing is
they don't have to pay him like the first 4 months.
Remember, they spray painted all the plexiglass too. So they were spray painting the plexiglass. They're just a bunch of hoodlums, vandals. They're a bunch of vandals. They're doing vandalism and they're getting paid for it. What does that teach you? But the worst thing is they went from having their faces covered to now these bizarre masks. They look like Bane for one. At least Dijakovic looks like Bane. Yeah, you got to cover your mouth when you're talking. Well, there's.
Take the brass ring. We're going to break it.
There's Mia Yim right there, right? I think that I heard her. I can almost understand what she was saying. The thing is what we heard was a story is that people were laughing backstage at their debut.
That's what they should have.
They said people who worked there were laughing at it.
As they should. So, it's a joke. They Monday night could have possibly been the biggest joke of Monday Night Raw that I've ever seen in my life. There's literally no meaning to Monday Night Raw. Like, okay, it's been pretty crappy for a while, and usually I'm a pretty good supporter of WWE in itself, but Monday Night Raw was unwatchable. Not only do you have Retribution that sucks, but you've got the Hurt Business too, who is supposed to be this other heel faction or stable. Now they're the only ones who can go up against Retribution. So you got two people basically that are heel factions, and it just then they look like the good guys against Retribution. Then they go come off later, and then they still seem like the bad guys. It's just stupid. There's no point. There's no good story to anything.
Why? When you take the show and you turn it into Raw Underground every week for an hour, let's talk a little bit. Let's get off of Retribution. I mean, we could go all week on this. Let's talk a little bit about Raw Underground. Now we've got, this past week we had Braun Strowman come in and just beat everybody. All the unbeatable guys from Underground got destroyed by Braun Strowman.
Good old Dabo Kato.
Can't build
that new guy up. Have to have him get beat in 5 seconds.
Yeah, I know.
By someone who's going nowhere.
Somehow I feel like this is their reboot of the Battle of the Tough Guys from No Holds Barred.
Yeah.
The movie with Hulk Hogan, you know? They should have Stan Hansen show up at some point.
I mean, anybody could show up. You know, they have a UFC guy in there every once in a while. Why don't you bring in some other UFCs, like, you know, Ken Shamrock, you know, Dan Severn. These guys would do it in a second if there's any legitimacy behind it. But remember, this is the world of pro wrestling.
And that's the issue with this Raw Underground. Okay, I understand it's supposed to be like an underground shoot fight type ordeal. But if you want this to ever get over in any sort of fashion and actually have it somewhat believable in a world that's already professional wrestling, how about you give some sort of rules behind it? Give some sort of rounds. Give some sort of point system. Give some sort of honor to the winner instead of random 18 million people just running in and out of the ring getting choked out in 1 second. Like, if you ever actually watch an MMA fight or even a bare knuckles fight, there's at least some sort of standard. There's literally, all you got to do is jump in there, get choked out by a big dude, and it's done. It's like, and then with Shane McMahon screaming on the microphone throughout the entire match, it's like, shut up, get a muzzle on.
I got to say that they do it for where the cameras are positioned too. So it's very 2D when I look at it. It's very, they're doing, you know, everything is done for the angle. You know, it's a ring without ropes or poles. And it, obviously, all the action's done. You know, but I mean, you know, Dolph Ziggler gets in there and is jumping all over people. I don't know. I think it's a big waste of time.
And guys, there's a point. Is there a point to it? That's the thing. Are they building towards something? It'd be different if they rewound the story back with Retribution, and maybe the guys who were sort of building up an underground end up becoming Retribution, and they want to take over Raw. There's got to be a reason for it, and I don't see a reason for this underground shoot fight that they're doing every week for an hour.
And I thought this would have been a good place for the Hurt Business to kind of, you know, build them up through the underground. I thought that would have been pretty neat. But the thing is what you're doing is you're taking all these guys who are actually legitimate wrestlers or previous MMA background, you're putting them in there. Half of them look strong, half of them don't. You know, Ziggler goes in there, he's an all-American wrestler, and he gets beat half the time in Raw Underground. You get Dava Kato, who you really have no introduction to him other than he's a big dude. And then you get Braun Strowman, who's just muscle. You throw him in there, and it's like you're not really giving any sort of legitimacy. You got Riddick Moss, who's a former football player, wrecking havoc in Underground. What is really all that legitimate about Riddick Moss being a top dog in Raw Underground other than he played middle linebacker professionally? Nothing. Give me some substance behind it.
I think I'm kind of getting the idea that they're trying to show these guys are legitimate tough guys, not your average pro wrestler. A lot of pro wrestlers, yeah, seem like they're like tough guys, but in reality, they're out there not to kill one another. They're out there to put on a good show. I think they're trying to make these guys look like they're legitimate tough guys. Now, Braun Strowman, you know, I mean, that's his MO, you know? He is, you know, comes out in these fists, you know, and whatever, you know, these hands.
I get it, but make me believe it then, because so far I don't believe anything that makes me think any one of these guys are legitimate tough guys.
To me, it looks like it's in the next set, next away from Raw, and everyone kind of runs over there to do it. You know, they shut the lights off, and everyone runs over there, and then they run back. You know,
or they break through the walls like Blazing Saddles in the middle of the next wrestling match.
Yeah, you know, throw out your hands, put out your tush. Wrong. Sorry, that's the wrong part of the movie. Okay,
we're showing our age.
Yeah, I know we are. We got to go to break on that. And by the way, if you've never seen Blazing Saddles, watch it there, and then understand that, you know, that was it's timely. So don't be mad. And Chris, yes. We'll be back after. We got a short break here. Come back. We're gonna do some news. We got a lot of news to talk about. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Braun Strowman wants his WWE wine. Welcome back to the show. I'm the Cashman with Jay-Z, Furby, and Danger Boy, and you. And, of course, you know that DC and the Artiste are in the hot tub of love someplace, maybe. But hopefully they'll be back next week or the week after. We'll see. But I mentioned very briefly the WWE wine that they're putting out. And I just was telling the guys during the commercial break that if they listened to the last segment, they heard four guys doing the WWE wine because of how unsatisfied we are. But WWE actually, believe it or not, is launching a wine. They still launched it this week with The Undertaker and the Ultimate Warrior limited edition bottles. Yum. The Taker-themed wine is a limited edition Cabernet Sauvignon, and the Warrior-themed wine is a Zinfandel. The wines are available at WWEwines.com for pre-sale orders, and we'll begin shipping on Thursday, October 22nd. One bottle of each wine under the pre-sale will run for a total of around $100. Wow. It better be good.
Well, I have to tell you.
It better be good wine.
Who better to represent the prototypical wine mom than Michelle McCool and Dana Warrior? I mean, come on. They are like the perfect spokespeople for those ladies who are like at 3 in the afternoon, they need a glass of wine. So go for it. I'm never going to buy it, but
I'm going to need the whole bottle after Monday night.
Well, for $100, you got to make that last. But I will say that those Karens out there that are the representatives, who was it, Michelle McCool and Dana Warrior there? I'm going to call them Karens from now on.
I still think they should repackage Mickie James as a wine mom and give her like a younger female wrestler to manage. With that big glass of wine saying, "You get him, sweetie."
Just remember this. Mickie James smelled wonderful every time we were around here. So she can do no wrong, okay?
I don't disagree.
Yeah. So we got some news we want to go through real quick.
Doesn't sound creepy at all.
If you missed the first segment of the show, we talked about Road Warrior Animal passing away this week at the age of 60, which is real sad. Talked about COVID positive wrestlers from WWE as well as AEW. And we also told you who Retribution was. So if you missed it and you're tuning in right now, you missed everything. You know, we're pretty much done. We'll see you later. No. There's some other news. We got the WWE wine, but also you see that John Cena is going to be in a new HBO Max series called The Peacemaker, which is, yep. I believe he is a DC Comics character from the Suicide Squad, right? Jay-Z, yes. You would know, right?
Yes, it ties into the James Gunn movie that's coming out. I don't know when. But it ties into the new Suicide Squad movie coming out eventually, and he plays the Peacemaker, and he's got I don't know if it's a ongoing or if it's a limited series, but I'm glad for John Cena. He's sort of following the Rock's method of starring in movies or acting, and same with Batista. They're doing things. They started out with small roles that sort of showed off what they were, and they're eventually getting the bigger stuff, and they're being noticed in Hollywood. And good for them, because if I was John Cena, I'd be happy I'm not on Monday nights anymore.
Well, that's true. And, it's interesting. A story came out on Arn Anderson's podcast this week about John Cena, about how he was instrumental in killing the push of Alex Riley. And we've heard stories for years that John Cena had something to do with it, but I finally heard the story from Arn Anderson, which he explained that John Cena actually wanted to take Riley under his wing and, mentor him. And Alex Riley said, "No, thank you." And John Cena took that so poorly that he said, that he let people know that Alex Riley is a waste of time and pretty much, killed his push. So I thought that was really interesting. Any thoughts on that, guys?
He had a good look, too.
He looked like just like The Miz. I thought they had like similar bodies, They're pretty similar. Remember, Alex Riley was
The Miz for a little bit. Yeah, I think season 2 of NXT, I think Miz was a coach, I think.
Yeah.
But he turned out to be kind of a creep, too. I mean, he's the one who probably leaked those tapes of Paige, isn't he?
Danger?
No, wasn't that Brad Maddox?
Yeah, Brad Maddox.
Oh, that was Brad Maddox. I'm making the two up. That's how bad WWE is. They don't have anybody memorable anymore.
Brad Maddox, And his tag team partner of the year, Xavier Woods.
Oh, you don't even want to know, folks. No. We're not going to go there.
Okay.
We're not going to go there. Jay-Z, you've actually seen that?
No. I've never seen it. I only read a fake Dave Meltzer write-up about it.
Believe it or not, it wasn't a triple threat match.
No, it wasn't. No. Someone had to hold the camera. Okay, so, hey, let's... I thought it was interesting.
This is the creepiest segment ever.
Yeah, well, it's the last segment of the show. We're leading into Syracuse football. So Syracuse football will be on at 11 a.m. this morning. But, yeah, we are the last thing before it, so we really can't preview the game at all. But let's talk a little bit also about some other news. I saw that you guys see Alex Riley ends up winning that gauntlet on NXT this past week, which gives him a shot against Finn Balor. Kyle. I had Alex on the brain.
Yes.
Kyle O'Reilly, a former Ring of Honor champion. Okay, I mean this is no spook. This guy is legit.
I'm excited for this match.
I am too, and I really finally think he's going to start to get a little bit of a singles push out of the Undisputed Era, and maybe this is where we finally start to see a divide in Undisputed Era. Potentially down the road, as Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly have tons of history with each other from Ring of Honor and PWG as well.
Definitely. You know, one thing I forgot we started last week doing was a match of the week, and I want you guys to think about it while I talk a bit. And I do have a Artis did get in touch with me about his thoughts about a match for the week, even though he knew he wasn't going to make it. But it also brought us Jay-Z, you know, in full Galifianakis style. I got to stop saying that. It's not nice. But he did send me a message saying that that Scorpio Sky versus Ben Carter would have been his match of the week if he had had a vote. And that was mine, too, as well, because, you know what? We did get some incredible, like, we had a battle royale for a women's match on NXT, and the winner of that was Candice LeRae going to take on Io Shirai. So it's like, and then we got, of course, Kyle O'Reilly in the gauntlet match, which was pretty good. Actually, that was a great match, but it's like, determined that he would go against Finn Balor. Anyone have any other ideas on maybe a match of the week out there?
Got to pick the local guy. Brody Lee and Orange Cassidy on AEW this week was great. It's a great match.
He sold for Orange Cassidy like a champ, man. I love that.
Yeah, but they both finished strong. It was a strong match for both of them. They didn't. Neither of them looked like one of them was getting buried. It was a good match. It was really, really good. And everything made sense, which is what AEW does well most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with any of those things, to be honest. I mean, pretty much all my matches of the week have already been selected. I mean, if I was to go with my third or fourth choice, it would probably have to be with the gauntlet match at NXT, or potentially Damian Priest as well, the North American Championship match.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Austin Theory and Damian Priest. I thought that was a pretty good match.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but I'll tell you, Austin Theory got the heck beat out of him. I mean, Damian Priest really was vicious in that match. It was great. Danger?
Yeah, I was, I mean, I would go, I'm still catching up on the, I haven't watched Late Night Dynamite yet, but from what I've seen so far, I would go with the gauntlet match from yesterday. That was pretty good, other than the how they got Kushida out of there, because they've been pushing him pretty good. But other than that, the especially all the stuff with Bronson Reed is going to be a star, whether people like it or not. That guy has some good stuff about him, and I like it. I hate they changed his music, though. I was into his old music.
Yeah, I think Bronson Reed is definitely going to be something to watch out for. And also, I know we said it a couple weeks ago, I think, in the how they didn't, you know, bring in the Velveteen Dream into the Kushida match the other day.
Yeah.
But I kind of actually liked how they did throw him in there for this, especially knowing that he wasn't probably going to be the, you know, the end-all contender for the NXT Championship, because this kind of now gives you another opportunity to further that rivalry, even maybe into the NXT TakeOver in 2 weeks.
I agree, and you know, with that music you're hearing means we're running out of time for the show. Jay-Z, you have any thoughts on a match of the week, or you agree with anybody?
I just threw it out there. Brody Lee and
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You did. That's right, Brody.
Any thoughts on Clash of Champions this weekend?
That's going to be very interesting.
I forgot it was happening.
Me too.
Well, we'll check it. We'll talk about it next week. I want to thank Danger. I want to thank you, Furby and Jay-Z, joining us. Please come again some other time, sir.
For sure.
All right. Yeah, and I'm the Cashman. We're out of here. We'll see you next week, folks.